This is Rumble in the Morning on FM 99.
Shelley has the week off. Sean's doing the news all week long. And it is a newsworthy week.
It is.
You have to say.
It is.
We still, you know, there's still some votes to be counted and some lawsuits to be settled. And
still things happen.
These are a few of my favorite things.
Yes.
Yes.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Right.
News is brought to you by Huffman & Huffman. Big insurance companies make billions, so why don't they like paying your claim when you get hurt? Call Huffman & Huffman. They'll get you the cash you deserve. Well, you know what? We're going to start with this because today is USMC Day or Marine Corps Day.
Yes!
A day when we celebrate the birth of the United States Marine Corps that was created during the Revolutionary War. The Marines have fought in every war that has involved the United States of America. And we can never repay those who have served or continue to serve today for all you do to keep us safe. So, happy USMC Day.
From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, we fight our country's battles in the air, on land and sea. First to fight for right and freedom and to keep our honor clean. We are proud to
And we'll go from people working as a unit to achieve a common goal to the president and the president-elect.
All right.
President-elect Joe Biden began assembling a team to face the pandemic, but the transition of power between he and President Donald Trump is kind of on hold for the moment. President Donald Trump has supposedly blocked government officials from cooperating with President-elect Joe Biden's team, and he fired the Secretary of Defense, Mark Esper, yesterday.
Well, he has some loose ends to tie apparently before... It's time to get the boxes.
Trump announced the news in a tweet saying, quote, effective immediately, Christopher Miller, the director, who is a director of National Counterterrorism Center, will be acting as the secretary. He said, Chris will do a great job. Mark Esper has been terminated, and I'd like to thank him for his service. Now, there's been a lot of speculation. The president fired Esper on Twitter, but White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows informed Esper of the firing before Trump announced it on Twitter.
All right, so he did not officially get fired on Twitter.
Correct.
You and I were having this conversation earlier, and I asked if you could find out if this is true, because it's being reported that he was literally tweeted out of his job.
Yeah, I had to do some digging.
Okay, cool.
The AP had that Chief of Staff Mark Meadows spoke to him before the announcement.
They're generally pretty reliable. Yeah. Thank you.
Esper didn't thank Trump necessarily, but he also didn't criticize the president. He said, quote, I step aside knowing there is much we achieved at the Defense Department over the last 18 months to protect the nation and improve the readiness, capabilities, and professionalism of the Joint Force. While fundamentally transforming and preparing the military for the future. Mm-hmm. Now, in addition to all of that, Attorney General William Barr has authorized the Justice Department to start looking into allegations of voter fraud, although at this time there appears to not be any strong evidence of widespread problems. There was a claim out of Nevada that has caught some attention. The Trump campaign has said they have a sworn statement from a poll worker in Clark County, Nevada, who claims to have, quote, personally witnessed what they're calling irregularities at a polling location. The person's name was redacted out of concerns of retaliation.
Okay.
The alleged incidents took place at the Clark County Election Center. This was between the time frame of October 17th to October 30th, so early voting.
Yes.
And they claim to have witnessed, they say, this is what they claim, they were people were allowed to vote via provisional ballots without a valid Nevada ID or driver's license as long as they provided proof that they had an upcoming appointment at the DMV.
Okay, so that's kind of like when the cop sees you don't have the inspection sticker, but you say, but I have an appointment. Okay,
go get it.
Go ahead.
they also say in the affidavit that the worker claims they, quote, personally witnessed two people handing multiple unopened mail-in ballot envelopes to other people who then opened and filled them out against the side of a Biden-Harris van.
Well, that is amazingly convenient. Now, let me ask you this. Obviously, there must be pictures of this.
Well, you'd think that, but...
I mean, it is the Biden-Harris van, and it's this overt, ruse, and this person is sharp, and they know what's going on.
Right.
So...
Well, you'd think there'd be pictures, but so far, no. So far, all we had is their their signed statement that they saw that.
Did they sign it? So they have a signed statement.
They said they do. The Trump campaign did. Yeah. But when they sent this to, the Nevada Democratic Attorney General Aaron Ford got mention of this, he said, we received a redacted affidavit that does not contain the individual's name, signature, or contact information.
Well, then, you received a second grader note that says, do you like me? That's what you just received. Nobody knows where it came from.
As it stands, our office has not yet received a formal complaint and cannot conduct an investigation without such critical details.
Well, you know what? If the complaint's there and they have enough materials, they need to investigate all of this
without a doubt. They're just saying there's some things you left out
In fact, Department of Justice yesterday said that prosecutors across the country are free to look into this.
Right. So,
and wherever it happens to fall.
We'll see what
happens. But a lot of these stories have the missing piece.
Yes. Yes.
There was an older lady in Nevada, too, that she claimed that somebody had voted her ballot before she got there.
Okay.
But when they brought it up, it was her signature.
Right.
And she said, that's not my signature. And then she refused to follow up on it.
Right.
Like, she just let it go.
It's like, well.
It's like, okay, well, you know.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah. Did you get.
Did
you forget?
Did you?
I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
So let's switch to some good news. We got this late in the show yesterday. Pfizer said an early peek at their vaccine data suggests that the shot may be 90% effective at preventing COVID-19. Mm-hmm. That announcement yesterday doesn't mean that the vaccine is imminent necessarily, but it is, you know, looking promising for when it does come out.
Yeah, got nothing to do with its date. Right.
They still have to get all the same data they needed before. They've got to keep looking at this thing.
Yeah, but you could be looking at a return to normal by late spring, maybe, spring.
Hoping for an accelerated timeline if this thing is that effective.
So the thing that we saw yesterday was it takes two shots.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have it there? I don't want to scoop you.
You're good.
You get one shot.
Mm-hmm.
You go back 3 weeks later, you get another shot.
Mm-hmm.
And 1 week after that, you will have enough immunities to ward this thing off.
Which is pretty great.
So it's a four-week process, more or less. Yeah.
And I've got the Pfizer CEO, Alberto Bulla, here talking about it. He spoke with CNN about how promising these results are.
90% is a game changer. Now you're hoping to have a tool in your war against this pandemic that could be significantly effective. How long this protection will last is something that we don't know right now, but we will follow up. The 44,000 people that they received, they are part of this study for 2 years. And during this follow-up, obviously, we will be looking also the durability of the immune responses.
Which is important as well. They've got to know how
long this
stands
up. I think you have to call it the Trump vaccine, though. I think you do.
Well, they would argue that they had no political body had anything to do with this.
I saw they said they were not even a part of Operation Warp Speed.
Right.
They're literally saying that we weren't a part of that.
Yeah, they said they refused the money specifically because they didn't want to get tied into anybody's...
Yeah, or questionable research, et cetera, et cetera. So this was done with their own funding?
Wow. Yeah, that's incredible.
That's a big company called Pfizer. They make a little something called Viagra.
Yeah, you might have heard of it.
Made some money over the years.
You may have heard of it. Now, he references 44,000 people in there. That's the number of people in the study. And 94 infections have been recorded so far out of those 44,000 people.
That is amazing.
They say
the Moderna one, they're expecting similar results.
They are,
actually.
Because
they use a similar process.
Yes, it's the two-dose mRNA, the messenger RNA process.
So it's not, at no point are you actually getting the virus, live or dead. You're getting building blocks.
Yes, your body's essentially being taught how to fight this thing.
And this
from
is apparently driving the anti-vaxxers crazy.
Of course.
Because they don't know how to rail against this new science.
Well, it's got the microchip.
Well, that's how you do it. You're right. You know what? I bought a bag of the microchips the other day. Great with queso.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
Dr. Anthony Fauci seemed cautiously optimistic about the potential vaccine as well when he spoke to Wolf Blitzer on CNN.
We now have a vaccine that is more than 90% effective. So the process now is to go over in great detail. There's still some questions about, you know, the durability of the effect, about whether how effective it is in the elderly versus younger people. But the bottom line is, as a vaccine, it's more than 90% effective, which is extraordinary and will play a major role in what the outcome of this is going to be.
However, it has to be stored at minus 70 Fahrenheit. So buy stock in dry ice, because there's not a lot of places that have minus 70.
No, you're right about
that. If you own a liquid nitrogen plant, you're in pretty good shape here.
It ended up being a good day for the stocks after this news came out as well. Both the S&P 500 and the Dow Jones Industrial Average opened at intraday records, which means within the same trading session. They finished slightly lower than that, but they started out It was a great day for them
Dow's
in general.
Up 850 or something like that.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I think it's up a total of 3% or something like that, which is great.
Which is a good. Yeah, yeah. No doubt. It bodes well for the future.
Yes, it does. The vaccine could bode well for a lot of things, including schools, which are still struggling with issues of in-person learning.
Sure.
Virginia Beach schools were set for all grades to return to in-person learning on Thursday of this week, but that might be changing because coronavirus cases and positivity rates have been going back up, specifically in the Virginia Beach area. Positivity rates in Virginia Beach have doubled in the last month, which is not what they wanted to see. The administrators have said that going from virtual to in-person, they need to base that on stable or improving numbers. They said, quote, we need to be sure that's happening. Students are off for Veterans Day on Wednesday, but after that, they have to see what they're going to do. They're expected to have a meeting today of the school board, and we should find out more as a result of that, hopefully.
Cool.
And you know what? I want to finish with this one just because we were just talking about giant James Bond, so... The gun used by the late Sean Connery in the first James Bond film is going up for auction next month.
No kidding. The Walther PPK?
Yep. The semi-automatic Walther PP, which along with the smaller PPK became one of the film franchise's best-known images, is expected to fetch between $150,000 to $200,000 at Julian's Auctions in Beverly Hills on December
3rd. So cool.
The deactivated gun, they want to stress that, was used by Connery in Dr. No in 1962. The actor who originated the James Bond role on screen passed away on October 31st at age 90. Quote, the silhouette of 007 holding the gun would go on to become the James Bond franchise's most iconic image and one of the most recognizable pop culture references of all time. The handgun is the top item of some 500 lots of Hollywood memorabilia that also go on sale. Up for auction.
Dude, that'd be cool.
It's in the same group as some other cool stuff, like Tom Cruise's helmet from Top Gun.
Oh, this is like major player stuff, so they've really put together a nice auction.
Yeah, and they also have the first dress worn by former U.S. First Lady Michelle Obama.
Again, major player stuff.
Yeah, this is a big deal.
That's a big deal. Yeah, that's going to raise a lot of dough.
As my dad would say, it's big groceries right there.
Big groceries right there. You're going to need plastic.
Yes, you will.
To carry that load in. It's all cans. All cans, baby.
Today, mostly sunny with a high near 77. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 64. And tomorrow, Veterans Day, a chance of showers before 1 p.m., then a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon as well. Then more showers likely. Mostly cloudy with a high near 79. Right now, it is 59 degrees. With the news, I'm Sean Hood for Rumble in the Morning on FM 99.